time right now, though. Let's get our view from the north. You can find all he's up to for Comcast Sports Net online, CSNNW.com, on the tube, talking ball, talking ducks, Comcast Channel 737 in high def. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you today, sir?
I don't know. I got a stomach bug yesterday. It was so weird.
That's miserable.
I had a hurling fit during an online fantasy draft, and I still made my picks, though.
Playing hurt to ruin your fantasy season. That's Scott.
You know, I'm just like I let some chunks go, and then I hear the little indication that then it was on ESPN, and that meant my pick was up. And I was like, oh. So I went over to my computer, and I looked, see who's my cue. Oh, okay, I'll take that guy. And then went back and took some more. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's also, I appreciate you sharing. Or is that the is that the sound that happens, though? There's a natural vomiting sound when you pick somebody on the Browns?
I did actually take it. I think I took Crowell. The Browns running back is like my fifth running back. So maybe that's what happened.
See? It's not so crazy. So I was thinking, when the NBA finals end, I mean, you could talk some baseball, there was the Olympics, but then it's speculation, it's previewing. Is the timing perfect? Is it enough already and just time to play some freaking games?
It was enough already, like, the second week of spring ball. What are you talking about?
Okay. That's good.
I actually did a great job this fall camp of pacing myself properly.
Oh, just to position yourself?
Pace myself mentally. Like, I camp was going on. I went down there a couple times a week, but I didn't let it consume me necessarily because I didn't want to get, you know, bogged down mentally, get into the drudgery of it. So then once game week popped up, I even took a vacation mid-fall camp. That helped, too.
No, that's great.
For like 4 days, you know, and just I paced out nicely. So I'm not feeling that desperation for a game, but, of course, I'm glad games are here.
All right. By the way, quick self-promotion. I see you and Bree have entered the world of podcasting. Let the folks know when you guys do it and where they can find it.
We're going to do them on Wednesdays. We posted it on CSNNW.com last night, I believe, and then Bree has tweeted it out. I've tweeted it out, and CSN has tweeted it out. So, yes, we're doing a podcast every week. We have a guest player on each week. This week we had Cameron Hunt. We decided to go for a senior and sort of talk about the bigger picture view of the team. He did a really great job. It was a great interview. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, we had a one-on-one with Cam. He's a great guy. So it was more than hinted that Herbert would eventually end up being the two. We got the depth chart. Johnson the four. Wilson ahead of him. As you mentioned, Prukop was not exactly dazzling in the spring game. What would be a reasonable expectation of him, especially against an opponent like this as he debuts as a starter?
I tend to believe he's pretty good. I thought, you know, what you see on video from last season or the past few seasons with Montana State, I mean, there's really nothing he can't do. He throws from the pocket. He throws well on the run. He can move. He obviously can scoot when things break down. So I would expect him to, you know, be good this week and light these guys up and be much better than he was in the spring. That was his first outing, so to speak, with this team. And I would expect some hiccups for a new position player in any position, let alone especially quarterback. He had all summer to fine-tune things, all fall camp. Everyone has said that things just sort of clicked about a week and a half ago, and it became obvious that he was the guy as he elevated his consistency and his ability to make plays. So I expect that to continue. My only question about him is, and I always say this about every quarterback, is that, you know, how are they with 5 minutes to go in the game?
Yeah.
You know, when it's tied. Or even if you're up seven, you got a game-clinching drive, or, you know, you're trying to get back into the game or whatever, you know, things break down, are you going to make special plays? And quarterbacks have to do that. And, you know, I'll say this forever, the notion that Oregon has all this talent and they can just plug anyone in there at quarterback, it's just BS. It's absolute nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. You cannot tell me a Ducks team in history that won 10-plus games with an average or marginal quarterback. It just – even Masoli might be the closest.
Right.
But Masoli, I think he only in two seasons as a starter, I think he had 11 interceptions. Now, he didn't throw for a ton of yards, but what did he do? He rushed for 1,000 one year. So that's making plays with your feet. So it's not the same way that, you know, Joey Harrington made plays, but it's still making plays. So we just need, you know, if they're going to contend, Dakota has to be a guy, you know, 30-30 against Washington in the fourth quarter, what is he going to do? And it might Stanford, USC, Washington State, Utah. I mean, going to Utah? I mean, seriously, Marcus had to be, like, crazy Marcus for them to win that game.
Right.
Like, he carried that night. You know, Michigan State, he carried that night. You know, when the offensive line was falling apart, Washington State, I think he had more touchdown passes than completion that night. I think it was 21 for 25 with five touchdown passes. You know, he had to do those things that night for them to only lose one game. And so, you know, they're going to do the same thing this year. So I think if you're a fan, what you want to see this week is just signs that he has mastered this offense, that he's not making bad passes, errant passes, bad reads. They should run through this team like hot knife through butter if the quarterback is at least good, and that's what you want to see this week.
Now, one of the really interesting conversations you had when you were talking with Coach Lubick, a lot of times, I think you mentioned the Lockie and Rodriguez, the battle to be the backup could go on to November, December. But from what they've told you, right now, that's not the same situation, is it?
Well, you know, I asked Lubick directly, you know, could it be like in 2013 when there was a blowout and we would see both Rodriguez and Lockie out there playing, which is unusual to see the two. And ever to see a number three quarterback is usually, it's an unusual thing to see. But they were doing that because those guys were still competing. And he kind of just said flat out, Herbert's our number two. And I think the fact that Wilson's the three, I really think they're going to – they have to try and redshirt Wilson, I would think. Because at least you get a separation in class between Wilson and Herbert. And that might entice Wilson to stay. so then you're saying that Prukup and Herbert would have to be out, and then you would say Wilson's our best. We're going to play him over Johnson. Okay, maybe. But if you're saying that and you really want to redshirt Wilson, then you're saying Herbert's my firm number two. Therefore, you're going to play him next, and we might not see another quarterback. I mean, and again, I'm speculating, and I'm going off what Lubick said, because he indicated Herbert's our number two. There's no competition right now. Now, granted, if Herbert goes out there in the fourth quarter, throws two interceptions, and has some bad practices, and all of a sudden one of the other two catches fire, then, yeah, that could change at any point. But I don't think this is at all like 2013, when I believe, and I think we all can look back in hindsight, that this is a fact, that they just were waiting for one of those guys to step up to show that he was a player. It wasn't like they were both really good and competing. It was like, one of you guys, please give us someone we can rely on. Okay, we'll throw you both out there at Colorado and see if someone can make a play. But no, it sounds like, I mean, I've heard a lot of guys hype since I've been covering this team, but very few have been hyped like Herbert. Like, everyone is sick. Like, people's eyes get big when they talk about him.
Nuts.
Like,
it's really cool.
Special. Allegedly special. And I've never seen a guy put on a sock, so I have no idea.
Okay. I'll talk with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. You know, three redshirt freshmen on the offensive line with Hunt. I guess Crosby's kind of day-to-day. But, you know, Voller, Brenner, Pizarcek aren't in there. And on your three and out, Coach Greatwood's been pretty upfront about those guys, Throckmorton, Hanson, Lemieux. He's like, they won the jobs. He's really high on these guys, isn't he?
Yeah, no, there's virtually no hesitation whatsoever in the confidence in these guys, which tells you that behind closed doors, they're getting it done. In pass protection, run blocking, and being mentally sound and consistent. And, you know, I asked Greatwood, hey, you know, you've had other paths, really good redshirt freshmen like John Stone, who started, and Grassi, who started. Are these three on par or ahead of those guys? And he kind of said he thought he was ahead of them.
Wow.
And that, you know, one of the points he made was that they've beaten out more seasoned guys than Grassi and John Stone had to beat out. An indication then that these three have had to overcome better competition than those two did in order to get their starting job. And he didn't hesitate in basically saying that, yeah, he thinks they're ahead of those guys. And those guys, as we know, were dynamite, you know, as redshirt freshmen. So, you know, and Greatwood doesn't mess around. You know, if he's not happy with something, you know, he will tell us or give us some kind of indication that guys aren't performing well. He's not one of these coaches who's just going to blow smoke.
Right.
So I see a coach that is very pleased and very happy with these three guys. Helfrich is as well. Lubick has raved about him. I asked Cameron Hunt during the podcast about him. I said, hey, you're going to be sandwiched between two youngins, you know, two redshirt freshmen. And plus, I mean, he's a right guard, so he's going to have a right tackle as a redshirt freshman. the center, and then the left guard. He's surrounded by all these babies, and he's like, these guys are good. Like, I have no qualms whatsoever. They're good. So the only thing Greg would say is, look, I haven't seen him in a game yet. You know, they haven't played a game since high school. We haven't seen him in a game yet. I guess it's possible that they could get out there and see all the fans and choke and freeze up or something, but no one believes that's ever going to happen. But other than that, he feels very good about them moving forward.
All right. Final thought on your double talk where the world has to put up with two of you.
That's so awesome.
You used the E word. Then you had an argument with yourself. You even cussed yourself out, left screen you. Then Good Cop Ventress went with Ben Don't Break, Attack, Prukop's going to play great. They're going to go 12-1 and be in the playoffs. And right screen you started countering that, going 8-4. I'm really confused. What was your actual take?
You don't think I'm confused? Come on, I'm the one with the schizophrenic personality over here. Was that Lizzie Borden? She's the famous schizophrenic, right? I'm Lizzie Borden.
No, Lizzie Borden went crazy with the axe. Sybil was the multiple personality.
Sybil. I'm Sybil. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Thanks. Well, I could be both. The one fence can kill the other fence.
Give it time.
No, I've written this already, and I believe this. And actually, it's funny. Before our podcast, Cameron asked me, what do you think we're going to do? And I'm sitting in a closed room with a guy looking around. I go, there's no escape route. But I just said to him, I said, here's what I think. I think you guys have all the talent in the world, all the ability. If you guys go 11-1, I wouldn't be floored. I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be floored. I go, but if I have to put money on it, and I look at all the different question marks on defense, how am I supposed to buy into a team with six new front seven starters, you know, and most of them have hardly any real intense experience, and then a secondary that got lit up last year? Have they improved? Maybe. You know, they can't be any worse, you know, but am I really going to buy 10 question marks on defense? 10 as being a huge enough turnaround that you're going to go to the national playoffs? No way. Win the division, maybe contend in the Pac-12. It's possible, but I see six losable games. I see questions on defense. I see a quarterback that we don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be in big game situations against big-time programs. Everything in me says 8-4 with a ceiling of 9-3. Last year I had 9-3 with a ceiling of 10-2. But I also said to him, I said, look, after Nebraska, we'll know more. Because it's just, you know, in NFL, you get a preseason. Like, you have 4 games to sort of watch the guys and sort of see what's going on. I got to watch my Bears put up -7 yards of total offense against the Chiefs, you know, in a third preseason game. And I tweeted, this looks like an 0-16 team. But with these guys, there's just so much going on we don't know. And then also after scrimmages, what do we hear after every scrimmage? The defense stinks. You know, Bray Hoke, like, barely wanted to do interviews because he was tick. And I asked Hollins about that the other day, this new starting defensive end who's 235, by the way, your 4-3 defensive end. And he's like, yeah, coach was mad. I didn't throw chairs. No, he didn't throw stuff, but he was really upset with us. So, you know, all those things put together, if I'm betting money, I'm saying 8 or 9 wins.
All right, and you said that to him, and he didn't go Lizzie Borden on you, so that's
good. He did.
Good.
He was actually very cool about it. Yeah.
All right. Hey, good stuff as always. Travel safe back to Eugene, and we'll have this conversation face-to-face on Saturday.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Take it easy.